So we're really fortunate. This week we've had some missionaries from Ensenada with us, Jorge, Mary Luisa, and their son Jorgito, who are in the front. He hates being called Jorgito, I feel like, but we're so glad they're here, and it's been fun. And we had a mission interest meeting on Wednesday, and we were talking about this mission trip that we're going to be going to Ensenada in July. And it was funny because we were talking about things that we're going to be doing, and it got me thinking about some of my previous mission trips. And if you've never been on a mission trip, highly recommend that you go on one. It is absolutely life-changing. I've been on a lot of different trips over the last 20 years, and I was thinking about the first time I went to Kenya, which is a country in East Africa. And we went over there, and the majority of the two-week trip, I was going to spend teaching pastors different theology things and Bible things, and then we also work with orphanages. And guess which part of those two things that I had the most fun in? The orphans, by far. Like, it was so fun. And the thing that they liked, so in Kenya, the African people see white people, and they're like, oh, man, we got to get these Mzungus to play soccer. And we're like, all right, let's go. I played soccer in high school, by the way. I only played to get ready for hockey, and I was goalie, so I didn't do anything. It was wonderful. And so I was like, I got a little soccer background. I can do this. And so we start playing, and these kids are running circles around us, and we're just like, oh, my gosh, so fast. And I'm like, man, I'm going to finally get my chance. And so I was playing defense, and finally the ball, like, gets kicked to me, and it's, you know, slowly bouncing. And I could feel it, like all of a sudden the music in my head started going, like, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is about to happen. And, like, I ran as hard as possible, got just going, and I was like, I am going to kick this ball to the other end of the field and score a goal from back here. It's going to happen, and then they're going to have to recognize the skill. And so I'm like running, and I kicked that ball as hard as is humanly possible. I put so much weight behind it, and the ball flies off Mach 10 and hits this little kid right in the face. And I was like, ah! Kid gets knocked down, and I was just like so embarrassed, and everybody starts laughing, and the kid gets up, big old red spot on his face, and I just feel absolutely terrible, and I'm like, welcome to my life. You know, like, if anything can go wrong, or if I can say the wrong thing at the wrong time, that is going to happen. Anybody feel like that describes your life, just out of curiosity? Yeah, I was like, that's just how it is, you know. And of course, I was just like so embarrassed, and this little kid, you know, is just looking at me, and I'm like, here, take candy, here, take all of it, and I'm just, you know, like, leave me alone. And I don't know about you, but it's like moments like that where I'm always like so grateful for God's grace. I was just like, oh, God loves me at least. these kids won't play soccer with me ever again, but you know. But if you are a mess up, if you are one of those type of people that feels like everything always goes wrong, can I just say one thing this morning? Welcome to the vineyard. Look around you. Everybody else is just like you. They might not admit it, but they are, okay? Now, for the past 4 weeks, our church has been in a sermon series. We've been in this sermon series called Reasonable Faith. And what we've been doing is we've been spending time jumping into the really challenging questions, the questions that skeptics or atheists even, or maybe people who are just curious about Christianity, the questions that they're asking. We've been spending time on each one of those questions, and we're going to do that for the rest of next month as well. And a number of the questions that we've talked about so far include questions like, how can a loving God allow human suffering and evil, which I think is a very good question. We've also asked the question and answered it, isn't it arrogant to claim that Jesus is the only way of salvation? And then last week we talked about this question about in the idea of, is it okay to ask questions and wrestle with Christian beliefs, or do I have to just have blind faith? And part of the reason why we've been talking about these topics is because I actually do believe that the Bible has good answers to these questions, and I think there's compelling evidence to support both the reliability of the Bible and also to support Christian beliefs. And if you're kind of like curious about how we're talking about this, we have all of our podcasts available on our church app, which you can download and listen to them and catch up. But today is Easter. Today is Easter. And so what we're going to do today, I was so tempted to super nerd out and to provide you the 50 reasons why the resurrection matters and then get into some really, really nerdy, high, lofty, philosophical arguments to defend the historicity of the resurrection. But I relented and I decided that what we're going to do this morning is we're going to spend some time thinking about why Easter is practical for us. And somebody's alarm is letting them know that they need to take their pill. So just take the pill, all right? So important. So I'm going to talk about the practical reasons why Jesus' resurrection matters for us. And the thing about life is that it is very messy, isn't it? Isn't life messy? And things don't always go our way. I remember when Dawn and I first got married. We've been married for 23 years, I believe. She's not here to correct me, but I'm going to go with 23. And let's just let that slide. But I remember when we first got married. So we both came from church backgrounds. Like, we both grew up in the church. And so just imagine by the time we get married, we're like burned out from church. I had been offended by church. I had had all these different leaders do crazy, stupid things over time. And so we were like, I like Jesus. I don't like the church. So how about you? And she's like, I feel the same way. I'm like, we are a match made in heaven. This is going to be wonderful. And we had these promises we made. We're like, all right, so number one, because we met in Minneapolis, we were going to university in Minneapolis, we liked Minneapolis, we were like, all right, number one thing, we're never moving to Wisconsin, all right, never, right? She's like, absolutely, and I'm like, all right, number two, we're never going to be in ministry, correct? And she's like, absolutely not. I'm like, okay, never being pastors? Never. We're like, all right, sweet. We end up pastoring in Wisconsin for 12 years, lived there for 15 years, and so our big thing right now is we're like, we are never going to be a millionaire. You know what I'm saying? Right? And we're like, we're going to trick God. It's totally going to happen. And so like, But life doesn't always go the way that we want it. And I know some of you, you know, you have lots of things go your way. You're like the golden child. There's a few people in this room right now that are the golden child. But for many people, life throws curveballs. And what happens is we have these mountaintop experiences. And then we also get into some of the valleys as well. Well, guess what? I want to let you know that Jesus and the vineyard are for people who are messy and people who don't have it all together and people who struggle. Amen? That's who we are. That's who Jesus is for. And you may be living the dream and you may be experiencing like what I call the Instagram life. You ever notice how when you're scrolling through Instagram or Facebook or tickety-tockety and you're seeing people and they're like crushing it on the beach, right? Have you ever seen that? And you're just like, yeah, right, you're fighting right now, I can tell, right? Like, you know, some people do that. They have this, like, exterior of, like, living the dream vibe, and that may be your experience. It might be your experience at certain points of time, but what you need to realize is that life is going to get more messy. Life is going to have its ups and its downs. And the only person that I know that promises to be there for you and to help you put your life back together when it gets messy is Jesus. That's the only person that I've found that's stable. And guess what? This is what I think is so important for us to remember during Easter is that Jesus experienced life and challenges and temptations just like you and I. He went through life just like you and I. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, we read these words. This is, I think, really fascinating. The writer of Hebrews says that this high priest of ours, he's talking about Jesus, understands our weaknesses. Why? For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Is the uniqueness of who Jesus is, but he went through life in the same way that we go through life. And so, you ever been betrayed? Anybody in the room ever been betrayed? Yeah, I know. Yeah, right? So is Jesus. Have you ever been mistreated? So is Jesus. You ever lost something you loved? So is Jesus. Have you ever been rejected? Some of us more than others, but that's not the point. So was Jesus, right? Here's a question, though, for you. Have you ever healed the sick, raised the dead, caused the blind to see, spread the message of God's kingdom with grace and truth, only to be crucified? No. That's where things begin to change. None of you have done that, but that's what Jesus did. And I mean, I really think like for us to appreciate Easter, to appreciate what this is actually about, we have to back up a little bit and we have to walk somewhat through Jesus' shoes during Holy Week. And so what I want to do just for a few minutes here is I want to just help us like enter back into the story to think about the flow of the biblical narrative and to think about the whole culmination of Jesus' life in his ministry. And what we see is last week was Palm Sunday, and on the Sunday before Easter, Jesus rode into Jerusalem and he was welcomed by crowds and they receive him as the messenger of God. They say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and they're super excited that Jesus arrived. And over the course of the week on Tuesday, there's a bunch of religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're constantly questioning Jesus, they're constantly rejecting his teachings, they're constantly just always at him. They're always denying and rejecting everything that Jesus says, and he's going through that on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, he's betrayed by Judas. And so think about that, like one of his closest followers, one of the 12, is with him for 3 years and sees all these miracles. And on Wednesday, Judas decides to betray Jesus and to sell him out and to participate in his arrest, his fake trial, and his crucifixion. And then on Thursday, we have the Last Supper where Jesus has been hinting at his disciples for a while now, saying, "Listen, I have to go to the cross. You don't understand, but I have to give up my life as a sacrifice for many. I have to serve." And he keeps repeating that over and over. And as you know, the disciples constantly are like, "No, Jesus, don't do that. Just stop with that. It's not going to happen." And on Thursday evening, when Jesus institutes the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper for us, he models this. He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you." And so then we have the crucifixion scene. And so on Friday, Jesus was arrested. He was beaten. He was spit upon. He was mocked. He was punched. He was kicked. He's treated as a common criminal before he's nailed to the cross. And after he's nailed to the cross, he's raised for everyone to see, stripped naked. And while he hangs on the cross, he was mocked by this huge, large crowd. And as we're reading the gospel narratives, we know that there were two other criminals, two other thieves who are raised next to him, and one of them also begins to mock Jesus. And it's hard to imagine the turmoil that Jesus went through. But he did that for us. And what I think is really important for us to remember on Easter and next week and every day of our lives is that Jesus went through all of that for messy people. He went through that for all of us in this room. It wasn't like he did that for just the people who have their stuff together. In fact, most of the time, the people who think they have it together, as you know, don't actually have it all together, do they? And you could be helpful if you let them know that sometimes. But choose wisely. Choose wisely. We have had bad days, though. And I just think it's important, though, for us to kind of put that in the context that our worst day would be hard-pressed to compete with Jesus' worst day. Are you with me? Like, our worst day would be hard-pressed to compete with Jesus' worst day. But guess what? A lot can happen in 7 days. And we have to know the story of Jesus' final week, I think, in order to really appreciate why the resurrection of Jesus has been the central claim of Christianity for 2,000 years. Like, when you read the narrative, you have to understand the things that are leading up to it, because when we're talking about Easter, we're like, yeah. I mean, Terry Rapley encapsulated the excitement so well, didn't she? Yeah. Right? She's like, "I'm ready to go. Let's go." You know, it's like we get excited, and Easter is like that. We've said jokingly that Easter is the Super Bowl of the church, right? And it is, but in order to really appreciate the beauty and the power of the Easter message is we have to understand that final week. And so what I want to read right now is from the Gospel of Luke, and this is after Jesus has been crucified. This is after Jesus has been beaten, he's been mocked, he's been slandered, he's been treated as a common criminal. This is after Saturday where all the disciples are like, I thought he was going to be our king. I thought we were going to do this. I thought that we were going to have a lot of influence and be able to keep on changing the world. But Jesus was crucified yesterday and he's gone. And this is after that Saturday, and we read these words in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. The resurrection of Jesus is the single most important event in all of human history because Jesus proved that he was God and he was victorious over everything that we fear. Or as the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Easter isn't about bunnies or plastic eggs or this afternoon's ham dinners or roast dinners that you're going to have. And as fun as those things are, Easter is not about those. Easter is about the fact that when Jesus was crucified, three men were hung on crosses. Two of those men had robbed human beings as criminals, but one of those men was going to rob the grave. Easter is about the fact that death and the grave could not hold Jesus. And no matter how difficult and messy your life is, the one who invites you to follow him is Jesus, because Jesus robbed death of its victory. So what's the takeaway? You know, when we think about this time of the year and we think about Easter, the two things that Christianity has said essential to our belief system is that Jesus died on the cross and that Jesus rose again. And no matter what difficulties you are currently facing, no matter what challenges you are experiencing, no matter what kind of mess you've made of your life, a lot can happen in 7 days, amen? But here's the good news, is that not only can a lot happen in 7 days, a lot can happen in a few minutes, amen? Let's stand up together. We're going to pray in a moment, and then we're going to sing a last song, and then we'll be dismissed. But I'd love to just encourage you right now. You know, one of the things that we believe in our church is that God is not some distant force, but we believe that God is actually intimately involved in our lives and that God desires to be near to us. And that's what Jesus' life is all about. He entered into our world so that we could have a relationship with him. And we also want to have a space where we can respond to what maybe God is speaking to us this morning. So I'd love to encourage you to do this. I'd love to encourage you to close your eyes for just a minute and just position yourself in a way that you might be able to hear from God for a moment.